Our next speaker is from Fort Worth. He is a disabled, permanently disabled Army officer. However, at this time he's in the construction business and is also associated with the Ryan Mortgage Company and the Reynolds Camel Lumber Company. I'm not advertising his business, but I just want to show you just what business this man is in. I now give you Scotty Lackland of Fort Worth.
Thank you, Sam. Numbers. After listening to the mayor and Horace and our lovely Miss Anonymous, I think I'd expose my ignorance to try to keep you very much longer. Most of the points of this program have been covered, and the most that I could hope for in the next 2-3 minutes would be to pick out some 1 or 2 points in our program and attempt to emphasize them. I won't make any effort to go into my own case history. It isn't essential. The fact remains that I'm really no newcomer to your city of Big Spring. I was first sent to Big Spring headquarters as representative of Coconey Vacuum Oil Company for all of West Texas. And I pooped that job off drinking. I won't go into a history of that, but I was able to talk myself in Boston to General Pelham into brokerage for the entire state of Texas, Gillette razors and blades. And I pooped that job off, thank you. And then through some miracle, I secured a like deal with RCA Victor, and I pooped that job off. Finally, I started down, 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 until they didn't even want me around the joint. I was just a person that wasn't welcome. When I had the price, I went to all of the fancy sanatoriums, and I made many of them. And then when I didn't have the price, I resorted to my military rights. I was a captain in the Marine Corps, World War I, and came home on the hospital ship Mercy, was finally discharged from the Brooklyn Naval Hospital in 1923 with a possible expectancy of 3 years. So I started going to Veterans Hospital. And in the course of time, I made a great number of veterans hospitals. Of course, always going out of them, AMA, against medical advice. And then finally, I started making the jails. And oh, I made a raft of them. In Fort Worth, my family were very prominent people. My uncle, Mr. Scott, Walter B. Scott, was the senior partner in the famous law firm of McLean and Scott. And he could manipulate the city politics. And they had a general pickup order on me just any time I was seen on the street. I know Uncle Walter used to come up to county jail. He'd say, "Scotty, I don't know what to do with you. You're the one problem that we can't solve. We can put them on Alcatraz and we can get them off again, but I cannot control you." If they put me in the veterans hospital in 27 days, I'd go before the staff and walk out because I would be perfectly sober. And if they put me in the county jail, I just left my clothes up there. There wasn't any point in taking them because I've been in and out twice in one day. I'm quite sure that in all of the rounds of my problems that had someone said to me, "Scotty, you are sick." I'm quite sure that I would have done something about it. Because from 1929 to 1945, I tried every way in the world, sincerely and solemnly and without mental reservation, to stop drinking. Well, at a funeral, I saw a friend of mine who was a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. When it was over, he took me by the hand and said, "Scotty, do you want to quit drinking?" And I said, "Bill, I want to quit drinking more than anything in the world, anything." He said, "Here's the address of some people who will help you." That's 7 years ago. And this fellowship and this program has been able to keep me straight. All the first 3 years I was in AA, or 2.5 years I was in AA, I literally lived in hell. Because this God business I didn't want any part of. Me, a man who had broke every rule in the book, why, there was no place for me. I knew I was going to go to hell. And then one day I listened to a great minister. I don't know why. I usually always cut those programs off. But he said some things that touched me. And although you may not agree with his ministry, or you may not agree with a lot of things that he's charged with and a lot of things that he did, the fact remains he touched thousands of men like me. My family had persecuted this minister. They were the main motivating forces behind attempting to unfrock him. So I was afraid to, I won't use that word afraid, but I was reluctant to approach him direct. I wrote him a letter. And I was dumbfounded. He called on me in person. We talked for quite a while. And he gave me some educational material, and I read it, and I liked it, and I went down to his church, and I hit the Sawdust Trail, and I joined it, and I was baptized. I have no regrets for that. As I stand here, I'm non-denominational as far as any brand of religion is concerned. But as I stand here tonight, and without mental reservation, I tell you that you have never met a man with more faith in God than I have. Because I'm certainly, as St. Paul said, not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why should I be? It gave me back myself. It gave me back my life. And it gave me a fellowship in an organization, an ability and an understanding, so that I have been used as a tool and have been in some small measure instrumental in bringing more than 300 people into AA. I don't say that except in the greatest humility. I say it because our fellowship is a paradox. Our fellowship is bounded on the principle that in order to retain it, we must give it away. And I tell you, you cannot give it away if you don't have it. I know you're tired, and I want to bring out two or three points about our fellowship, because this is an open meeting, and there are people here who do not understand the workings of our program, and I want to make a couple of statements very clear. Alcoholics Anonymous has but one purpose, and that purpose, of course, is to help the sick alcoholic recover, if he wishes. And our whole program is hinged on those last three words, if he wishes. Any other approach? As far as I know, it just won't do the job. Until the alcoholic himself looks himself in the face and says, I'm going to do this because I'm worth it to myself. I'm not going to do it on account of my wife, my job, my family. I'm going to do it because I am worth it to myself. Until he takes that attitude, he isn't going to get very far. So we say, and we challenge anyone to expose themselves to our program on the basis of willingness to learn, honesty of purpose, and genuine sincerity. So we come to a rather academic question in AA that I want to answer in this open meeting. Who is a member of Alcoholics Anonymous? Now, this is the generally accepted concept in the AA groups throughout the country. If alcohol is an uncontrollable problem, and he wishes to do something about it, that is enough for us. We care not whether his case is severe or light, whether his morals are good or bad, whether he has other complications or not. Our AA doors stand wide open, and if he passes through it and commences to do anything at all about his problem, he is considered a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. He signs nothing, he agrees to nothing, and he promises nothing. And we, in turn, demand nothing. He joins on his own say-so. He doesn't even have to admit that he is an alcoholic. He can join AA on the mere suspicion that he may be an alcoholic. I want to bring that point out very clear. There's another point I'd like to bring out very clear. With each passing year, we increasingly realize the immense importance of adequately presenting the program to every prospect who is in the least inclined to listen. Many of us feel this to be our greatest obligation. The difference between a good approach and a bad one can mean life or death to those who seek our help. We have seen excellent prospects who receive nothing but our brief and casual notice continue their stumbling journey to the undertaker, while seemingly impossible cases who had received careful and considerate attention recovered on the spot or later came back and found their sobriety. I'm going to conclude with one other point and a letter that I have from Carl. Carl, of course, is one of my dearest, closest personal friends. We entered AA almost at the same time. And since he left Big Spring and come to Fort Worth, he's been quite a motivating force in our own group. We've just accepted him as one in a million. It is seldom that the individual grasps the problem of alcoholism at the first opportunity. In the first year, as the alcoholic attempts to live his life anew, flips are to be expected. The whole concept of alcoholism is foreign to him, and it is sometimes impossible for him to accept the thought that he cannot drink. His drinking days have been surrounded by a halo of false glamour. It takes time for him to see his drinking pattern in its true light and to accept the fact that he cannot drink. A searching, critical analysis is mandatory for the alcoholic before he can see himself as others see him. In dealing with this term dryness or sobriety, we require qualification. When it is stated that an individual has been dry for a period of time,
It means that he has not had any alcoholic beverage during that time. It does not mean, however, that his disease is arrested. For to justify that statement, a man would have to be dry for a period of 3 to 5 years. And even if an individual is dry 5 years, there is no guarantee that he will remain dry. Basically, the alcoholic is sensitive to alcohol and will remain so all of his life. It is true that the alcoholic is no further away from a binge or alcoholism than his first drink. The term dryness refers to an alcoholic who is not drinking alcoholic beverages, who is receptive and willing to execute to the best of his ability our program of sobriety. And now, in conclusion, this word from Carl. I'm glad that I have personal possession of it, because believe me, you're only going to get it in your wire recording. I'm going to teach it. This is very typical of Carl to all of you that know him, and this is a very personal message to the members of AA. And you people who are not members of AA, I'll just ask you to bear with me for a minute. Because you have to know Carl or have some understanding of him to appreciate this message. Greetings to all the AA relatives and friends. I'm not sorry, neither am I disappointed that I can't be with you today. That would be self-pity. But I'm very happy for our many successes and this lovely meeting. And above all, I'm very grateful for our sobriety as we learn to live closer to God. As we continue to live a day at a time this way, helping one another, we will finally reach the cherished goal, serenity. Remembering always, if we think right, we will do right. And if we do right, we will be sober and happy. My closing prayer is, may God keep us honest, sincere, and sober, so we can help others. Amen. Carl. Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Thanks, Daddy. I'm sure that everyone here enjoyed your messages much as I have. I just wanted to make an announcement or two, and then we will dismiss. After the meeting tonight, all AAs are invited to our meeting house, and we hope you will come because we'd like to have you see our club. At 8 a.m. tomorrow, the clubhouse will be open at 8 a.m. Donuts, coffee, and cookies will be served. An open meeting for everyone will start promptly at 10 and close at noon. Then from 2 p.m. until 6, the public is cordially invited to visit the new AA building. Coffee and donuts will be served. If you have any questions to ask, any member of AA there will be happy to give you any information that you might want. Now, in order to go to the club, you go out here east to the Coca-Cola plant, which is about 7 blocks. Turn to your right and go 3 blocks to 6th Street. then turn to your left one block, and then turn to your right, and you'll run right into the AA club. You'll see it on the left-hand side. Now, at one time, you look like you're going down into a canyon, and you will be, so don't let that fool you. Just keep going. I sure want to thank you for your attention tonight, and we appreciate having you. Thank you very much. Oh, for closing an AA meeting, we usually close with the Lord's Prayer, and I'll ask Leslie to dismiss us with the Lord's Prayer.